Well, hey, welcome into Gravel Talk. My name is Nick, joined by AC Riley and Jesse Von Rudin. This is a show where we like to talk about Midwestern independent wrestling every single week. Me, personally, been in the wrestling business for how long has it been, guys? Like 7 years, maybe?
Oh, we've been all together for roughly about
seven years. I've commentated. I've done backstage announcing. I've even gotten in the ring a few times. Went to school for broadcasting, too, so this is kind of right up my alley. And I know you guys have quite a bit of experience in the biz, too.
Yeah, I mean, been doing pro wrestling primarily. Also in the communication field. Broadcasting as a minor, not a major. But other than that, starting to play my hand in commentary a little bit, doing a little bit of stuff, trying to keep it fresh. Keep it fresh.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that didn't sound fresh at all. I've started on the production side instead of actually in the ring. Doing a lot of commentary, video editing, videography, doing hype packs, making DVDs for companies, a lot of social media work, a little bit creative here and there. You know, whatever I get a chance to actually throw in my two cents, I love to do that. That's the cool thing about independent wrestling is it's one of those things where you can bat around ideas. And you can help change storylines for the better. And that's what we're all about here is actually to promote professional wrestling, especially on the indie scene in the Midwest, and hopefully educate and inform.
Exactly. So stick around. We got a great episode of Gravel Talk coming up next.
Independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino. And
we're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
Grapple Talk. My name is Nick Ragner, joined by my esteemed colleague AC Riley and newly crowned co-host Jesse Von Rudin of Bell Productions. Do you like that moniker, by the way?
Well, newly crowned. That's actually kind of nice.
I'm saying, do you like the Bell Productions thing after your name?
You know,
would you rather be like super fanboy?
Don't need to worry about
Jesse
it.
Von Rudin.
We don't have like lower thirds. Drip!
We're here. When the lights turn on, three men stand shoulder to shoulder to shoulder. Jesse Von Rudin, Nicholas Ragner, and the man himself, A.C. Riley. Grapple Talk is on right now.
Welcome into Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. How's everybody doing on this fine... was it Thursday today?
Wednesday? Well, technically we're recording on a Wednesday. You might be listening to it on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday.
Or maybe in 2 weeks.
Or, I do that
or in the future, 20 years
future.
From now.
Or in the past, if you have a time machine and you're going back in time and listening to us right now before the episode was even recorded.
A spoiler alert, it ends at some point.
My name is Nick Ragner, joined by J.C. Riley.
J.C. Riley.
J.C. Penney.
You just wear really cheap J.C. Penney clothes. I mean,
wow.
Maybe have it. I mean, I would shop at J.C. Penney, so I can say that.
Yeah.
This is actually my grandpa's shirt.
They got some good stuff at J.C. Penney.
One of my grandpa's shirt right now.
I won't lie about that.
Wasn't J.C. Penney, like, trying to rebrand their image?
Yeah, I think to, like, skater boys, but then they said, see you later, boy. You're not good enough for us.
Wow.
Did you just
quote Avril Lavigne?
And also joined by Jesse Von Rudin
for
this
going?
Week. Yeah, of course. You're always last but not least. And we got a huge show coming up this week, guys. WrestleMania is this Sunday. We're going to talk predictions. We're going to talk about the huge breaking news of Lesnar. We're talking about Rey Mysterio. It's been all over the place. You can't go, you know, you can't be a wrestling podcast and not talk about that if you haven't talked about it yet. Yeah. And then we have an amazing guest. We have Ryan Anderson. What is it? What's his nickname? The Golden Voice of
Professional Wrestling.
The Golden Voice. That sounds awesome. We're going to ask him about that. And it's going to be cool because it's the first time we'll be talking to, like, you know, a ring announcer guy.
Yeah, so. Definitely. It's in our neck of the woods.
It's in our
one would say.
Our neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Neck of the woods.
It's like something we kind of do.
So we're going to do what we always do. We're going to talk about some upcoming shows to get you geared up for this weekend of wrestling.
Here are some featured shows appearing in the Midwest region.
And AC Rowland starts off.
All right, we're starting things off with Primetime Wrestling. Coming up, a little bit of an error. I wrote Saturday, March 27th, but it's actually Friday, March 27th.
You could have just said that without even saying that.
Well, being an idiot. Shocker. Spoiler alert.
Shave your beard, man.
Whatever.
You look like
you're the shock master.
You look like a modern Abe Lincoln.
Modern Abe Lincoln. I like it. Friday, March 27th, Primetime Wrestling, as I get shot in the head by Jesse Von Rudin, a.k.a.
Lee Harvey Oswald.
It's John Wilkes Booth.
That's embarrassing.
You guys both fail history.
Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy.
Well, it depends who you ask.
Yeah, some people would
so
say.
So Jesse Von Wilkes Booth. There we
Jesse
go.
Von Wilkes.
Wilkes Booth.
Jesse Von Riggs.
Primetime Wrestling this Friday, March 27th, Knights of Columbus at 1114 American Boulevard. That's in Bloomington, Minnesota, actually not too far from our neck of the woods. We were talking about that as well. Primetime Wrestling title on the line. Champion Darren Corbin takes on the challenger Ricky Love. Billy Blaze takes on Doug the Alien.
Doug the Alien?
Doug the Alien.
Dude, isn't that from a movie?
It's also from
movie,
Primetime
the
Wrestling.
The movie Doug?
Yeah.
He's an alien. He played by Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen going to be there?
So Doug the Alien was...
Hey, guys. You want to smoke some weed?
So, Seth Rogen star to Primetime Wrestling. But, some star power over there. Mitch Paradise is also some star power as he takes on Arya Daivari. And Wildcat, our favorite cat feline hero, takes on Craven Knight. Show starts at 7. Tickets are $12 for adults. Youth 5 through 8 are $8. At Primetime Wrestling at the Knights of Columbus in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Well, Anarchy Pro Wrestling has their Anarchist Brawl. That'd be Saturday, March 28th at the Berlin Eagles Club, 6309 West 26th Street in Berlin, Wisconsin. You're going to see, Mike Daniels being action against, Marcelo Spade?
I think it's Marcelo Spade.
Marcelo Spade. Buddy Roberts Jr. be taking on the natural-born killer.
Capitalized killer.
Yeah. Tag Team Championships will be on the line as the challengers out of control, which is Jim Blaze and Joey Cece, take on the champions Conflict Crew. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. $10 for adults, 5 for kids, 12 and under. And it's going to be a good show. Anarchy Pro always puts on a good time. If you've ever been in Berlin, Illinois, hey, man, it's a good place, too.
Okay. Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Also coming up on Saturday, it's UTL Under the Lights benefit for Emily, St. Thomas Aquinas Academy, 1200 Main Street in Marinette, Wisconsin. That's St. Thomas Academy, 1200 Main Street in Marinette. Emily is a 14-year-old girl from Marinette who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And right now there is no cure for diabetes, guys. I don't know if anybody in your family's ever been, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. I've had a very close cousin of mine actually has diabetes. There's been run walks for her and things like that. So, it's always,
it's a tough bill of health.
It's something that she has to deal with every single day. Life now for her consists of insulin several times a day and proper dieting. And it's kind of different. It's weird when you kind of think about it. And I don't mean to get too off topic here, guys, but it's kind of weird when you think about that, how for granted you might take things, because right now, I can go eat anything I want and, treat my body.
Like 15 Mountain Dews a day.
I mean, it might affect me in like 50 years, but I mean, as of right now, like, I can do whatever I want, and you don't realize, that there's this 14-year-old girl that has to deal with things that we would never think of to be, detrimental to our health as it would be to her. So as long as
she follows
doctor's orders, diabetes doesn't have to be a life sentence. Meanwhile, more expenses for her are, kind of piling up for the medicine, the test strips, the needles, everything, the pricks,
insulin pump.
So the donations for Under the Lights benefit for Emily will go on to help pay Emily's medical bills and the rest to fund research to find a cure for diabetes so that individuals like Emily, like anybody that you may know that's affected by diabetes, will no longer be insulin dependent. That's really cool. Research is also coming close to finding a cure. So they just need some money to get the funding to find that, and that's where these donations really help out. So come down to Under the Lights, Under the Lights benefit for Emily. It's going to be a great show. You're going to see the heavyweight champion Tejas there, Dysfunction, Brock Hall. Mario Crivello will be there. Joey the Jet Avalon, Ian 12-Gauger, Kaz Carter, Cooter Bosphus, The Love Machine, Matt
Cooter,
Longtime.
I think it's Cooter Bosphus.
Bosphus.
It's got like a chicken.
He's a hillbilly.
Yeah.
The Love Machine, Matt Longtime, who we haven't seen for a while, but I still love Matt Longtime, will be there. 8-Pack Jared Jacks also will be there, and the show starts at 7. Tickets are $12 for ringside seats, $7 for general admission bleacher seats, so that's very, very doable, especially for the action you're going to see. And I mean, honestly, for a benefit like this, you might want to throw $7 or $12 their way for not even doing, for not even going to a show. So why not go see some wrestling action for a great cause? It's Under the Lights benefit for Emily this upcoming Saturday, March the 28th in Marinette, Wisconsin.
And of course, also, we only highlighted 3 shows, guys, but there's a lot more coming on, especially with WrestleMania weekend coming up, and we will post that this Friday with the episode link as well. You can check that out on Grapple Talk at facebook.com/TheGrappleTalk. So check it out.
Big news is, coming for the past few days, guys. Brock Lesnar announcing on ESPN that he'll be sticking around with WWE, at least for the time being. Was obviously a huge question going into WrestleMania. Was the guy going to be signed or not? Because I believe his contract ended the day after WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Guys, I mean, what are your thoughts right now, I guess, on Lesnar deciding to stay?
Love it. Love it. I know it's something we've been talking about for months. You know, was he going to stay or not? I know, I think you and me both were on agreement that he was going to stay no matter what. And Alex over here is like, oh, man, he would go back to UFC.
No, I actually was the opposite. I knew he was going to go to WWE because I was saying that because last time he was at UFC, he fought Overeem. He lost really quick because he got punched in the gut. That's where his intestinal surgery happened. And even though he's cleared to fight at UFC again, he was going to have that same issue because he was cleared to fight when he fought Overeem. So I was saying to stay in WWE where he can still compete and not have that issue come up.
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's all brass tacks. Anyhow, Brock Lesnar is going to be sticking with the WWE for the foreseeable future. Multi-year contract.
Yeah.
Very lucrative. Very lucrative. But the internet had a lot of different things to say. There were some people that were really happy about it. There were some people like, then we got Brock Lesnar again. Oh, my God.
Of course. It's the internet. It's the internet.
Yeah. I mean, I just told you guys I got in a Facebook, fight with somebody.
You did.
Not a fight, but I got in a rant. You know, it's because they were bitching about the idea that Lesnar's not worth that money. But if you think about it, I think the dude just keeps racking in money because, it's like the internet blows up every time he's announced he's going to be on Raw. It's like, dude's going to be on Raw. It's like, I got to watch tonight.
See, here's my thing, because you said you got in a fight on the internet, but, you were making more solid points than anybody else that was involved in that fight. So is it still a fight? Because I consider a fight even. You were kind of making points that were a lot better than whatever they were making. They were just making stupid points about complaining to Lesnar, whereas you were bringing facts into it. So is that more of a fight or a beatdown?
I don't know.
Comeback clap.
What are you, are you cheering for the guy that I'm on Facebook fighting with right now?
Yeah, because why would you want him to make the comeback?
I was trying to give him the baby face fire right now. Is that right?
No, you started in with the beatdown, but then you came back and you came back strong like Hulk Hogan.
I don't even know
what
you're saying.
He pointed you.
I don't get it. I don't know even what you're talking about right now.
Axelmania is running wild. What's up, Brian Brown?
Stop it. Knock it off.
I think he's lost his mind.
Have you lost your mind?
I had to have one to lose it.
I think the longer that your neck beard gets, the more ridiculous.
It's not a neck beard. There's nothing on the neck.
It's like an Abe Lincoln.
It's like a chin strap.
It's a chin strap. I can agree with that.
It's too long, though. It's like, I could maybe if it was a well-maintained chin strap, okay, yeah, we'll talk. But it's like, it's not, it's like, it looks, I don't know. It's like, it's almost like if you honestly, shaved your head and then you just, took that chin strap and then just went, put it up, I'd be like, oh, there's AC Rye's hair.
What?
That looks like it could be your faux hawk on the bottom of your chin.
You know? He's got a point there. You really—he's kind of like a playing card.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
It's terrible, but
you see Riley the playing card. All right.
The great thing about Lesnar, and I think the great idea with him staying with the company too, is it just—it's awesome that he's kind of solidified that role. You know that they were—you know—it seems like when, a couple years ago when he left at the top when we faced Goldberg and stuff. It's like we weren't ready for him to leave yet because he was still making such an impact, and it's great knowing that he'll be around for longer. And it's interesting to see, now that WWE is like, okay, well, we have this guy, he's going to be around for a while. Obviously, in the interview, he was, expressing a lot of rumors always came up, well, he doesn't want to be here. He's just here for the money and things, and he kind of put that to rest when he was like, I want to be here. This is what I want to do. I love doing this. It's interesting because I think it gives WWE avenues too now where they can be like, well, what do we want to do with this guy? Do we want to continue doing what we're doing? Do we want to change things up? And I think that's what's even more interesting because now that you know he's going to be around for a while, it also opens up the idea to, oh, man, who's Lesnar going to wrestle at WrestleMania, man? Or SummerSlam? Who's going to wrestle next year at WrestleMania? It's like it puts more excitement back into it, and hopefully, his run that he's having right now, not necessarily as a champion, but just being in the business continues to be as successful as it has been because I think –
they have a box office draw that both the UFC and the WWE were fighting over to get him.
Exactly.
I heard some reports that UFC actually doubled the amount that the WWE was going to give him.
Really?
And then he's like, oh, no, guys. And then they doubled it again. So it was one of those things where he would have got a king's ransom going back to the UFC, but it was something that he said very poignantly in that interview. He's like, I just don't have it, mentally for it. And, his love of entertaining and being out there for the fans – I mean, you're looking at the next 3 years, possibly, and we're going to see so many great matchups. We're probably finally going to get Daniel Bryan against Brock Lesnar. That's some.
Nice.
That's a match that both of those guys, from what I've heard, both want. There's already the rumor of Brock versus Rock for next year at Mania. We'll see how that one goes. There's always a ton of other stuff. Him and Bray Wyatt is a money match. Him and Rusev is a money match, especially if everything works out the way it does this year at Mania. Good segue. And it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a very fun time. You're going to see – I think Levi Stadium is going to go unglued for Lesnar when his music hits during that main event.
Is he going to be a babyface?
I think he's got the babyface fire.
In Levi Stadium? How about Hulk Hogan versus Brock Lesnar, WrestleMania 40?
Can we already play tags for Hogan? Because it would be done at that point in time.
I'm going to put you on your misery, old man. I got one run left, brother. But I can't. I need to be carried out to the ring, brother.
I think one run left is him just making it out of the car sometimes.
Oh, my gosh. Somebody's blowing up my phone right now on Facebook, and it's really pissing me off.
Well, you got in that fight. But anyhow, guys, WrestleMania right around the corner. Of course, it's this Sunday. One of the things every podcast does and every wrestling fan does is they make predictions on their favorite matches. And looking at the card right now, it looks like a pretty stacked card. It's definitely a WrestleMania-worthy card, and that's something that a lot of people don't really say. So one of the first matches up is actually Randy Orton against Seth Rollins. Of course, we know what the storyline going in this one is. Seth Rollins is a new anointed authority guy taking over. Orton's coming back. He's been smited by his former lovers, the Authority, and now they're going to go one-on-one, and it's going to be an interesting match.
I think we'll try to keep these short so we can get through all of them in a timely manner. I'm just going to say I think this match is easy to predict. I think Orton goes over here simply because Seth Rollins right now is arguably the biggest heel in the company. I don't think he gets hurt at all by this because he still has the Money in the Bank, and you know they always do that weird thing where they sometimes hurt a guy before he makes that Money in the Bank run to kind of throw fans off. And Orton's been gone for a while, and he needs that payback match, and I think this is that time for that. This is the time for the payback.
AC Riley.
I'm in the same boat. I say Randy Orton. I mean, he's been gone for so long, so you got to really have him come back in a good style, get a win over Seth Rollins to really make him say, hey, I'm back. And, I would just say Randy Orton.
Jesse Von Rudin.
We're going to go Seth Rollins. I'm going to tell you why I think a WrestleMania-defining moment would be beating Randy Orton, especially right now. I don't think Orton gets hurt by losing this match. And plus, there's always the rematch the following month at Extreme Rules where these two guys could really tear it down. Next match up on the bill, we have the Bella Twins taking on Paige and AJ Lee.
I don't even... Paige and AJ Lee, I guess? I don't know. I honestly don't know who to pick in that one because I think it could be successful both ways. And, that is a tough one. I'm going to say Paige and AJ Lee because I think it sets up for Extreme Rules, a title match between AJ Lee and Nikki Bella, maybe at the pay-per-view. So I'm just going to say they go over and it's like, we won. Deserve a Divas title match.
AC Riley.
I say Bell Twins.
Why?
I think that whenever they do tag matches, they're really good unit. I mean, obviously it helps that they're both look exactly the same pretty much.
Great analyzing like it's a real fight. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I say Bell Twins at WrestleMania.
I got it. Hold on.
Nice. You had a Jesse Von Rudin. Not only do people consider this a bathroom break, they also consider it apparently
a Belgian break. I will have to go with the Bella Twins. I think with the miscommunication between Paige and AJ Lee, I think they got themselves possibly one good feud left before AJ Lee leaves. Bella Twins, right now, they are the anchor of that division, and they're going to be the anchor going forward.
Cool.
All right, up next is the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. And, of course, we don't have a list of guys, so just say a name.
I think Sheamus makes a surprise comeback, and I think he wins it. I don't know when he's going to come back. Unless he comes back the day after WrestleMania, which actually would make a lot of sense. So if that were the case, I'm going to say X-Mania. Fuck it.
Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
AC Riley.
I say Cesaro, won it 2 years in a row.
He's actually in a tag match, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. It's a nice match.
He can still be in the Battle Royal.
All right, 2 years in a row, Cesaro. I'm going to go with the guy who's actually probably going to end up being called up from NXT to be in this Battle Royal. We're going to go Kalisto.
Not really?
Yeah, why not?
As Lucha Dragon or as gay hairdresser?
Lucha Dragon.
I think Andre the Giant's going to rise from the dead. He's going to come out to the ring. He's going to win it. So... He's going to be brought out like
a puppet. You already said Sheamus.
He's going to be brought like a puppet.
No, that's just disrespectful to Andre the Giant. All right, speaking of Cesaro, he and Tyson Kidd will be defending the tag team titles against the New Day, Los Matadors, and the Usos.
I'm going to go with Kidd and Cesaro. I think, you know, it's a run that they could have that could really, you know, I like what they're doing in the ring. I like that they're actually building something around these guys and Natty. And I think a win over the other three teams in the competition would only propel them to new heights as a tag team. So I say you got to go Kidd and Cesaro here.
AC Riley.
I also say Kidd and Cesaro. I love both those guys separate, and I love them as a tag team. Usos, they've had quite a bit of a run as tag champs. Los Matadores and the New Day, I don't think they're really there yet. So I think that they're great to be there in the filler for WrestleMania. It's great that they're getting their moment. But I say Kidd and Cesaro walkout champs.
Jesse Von Rudin. I agree. You know, like the Uso thing would be the predictable ending of that one, you know, especially with their father going into Hall of Fame. They might have Rikishi at ringside, blah, 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 blah. It's a four-way. It doesn't really matter. Champions don't need to get pinned. Doesn't really matter. Next match, Triple H versus Sting.
Oh, that's a good. That's a big one.
That is a huge one.
Sting.
Triple H.
What?
Yeah.
Really? The surprise win? Triple H pulling the rug out from people or what?
Yeah.
Really?
I really think so. I. The only reason I want to say
finally killing off WCW.
Killed off WCW.
Get the shovel.
Yeah. Come on, man.
All right. After that one, this is a very, very big match, I think, for both guys. We have Bray Wyatt taking on The Undertaker.
Now, this is one we can maybe actually talk about a little bit. I feel like this could go so many ways. I don't think Wyatt taking a loss would hurt, and I think it would only revitalize Undertaker. And I think at this pay-per-view, this WrestleMania, you almost might see some sort of a setup for Sting Taker at the next year's WrestleMania. So that's one reason I feel like Sting might get the win, just because you might see Sting Undertaker getting the win, and then after Undertaker's match, maybe Sting's like, and he has like his bat, and he like points at the Mania sign or some stupid shit. Probably won't happen. I probably sound like an idiot right now, but I just think the whole Wyatt beating Taker, you know, people say it wouldn't hurt Taker at all because, you know, whatever, but I just think I love that Lesnar beat Taker. I think it worked out really well, mm-hmm. but I think Wyatt Taker would have happened last year, it would have been perfect for Taker to go over, and then Lesnar would have went over, because I don't know what it is about it, but I think this would have been the perfect way, because it almost seems like they're trying to transition Wyatt's character into maybe like that new supernatural Undertaker, kind of, you know, like that special, like, oh, that, like, it's like we have wrestling and then we have this kind of like supernatural guy that does weird things. I think that, you know, this is a great match. I think Taker gets a win, though. I saw pictures of him working out. He looks better than he did last year. The dude looks like he's ready to go, and I think, you know, this might be, you know, just almost like a thing like Taker coming out, getting the win, and being like, I'm not done yet. So I think Taker is the easy pick here.
I would definitely say that I'm really looking forward to this match. Mm-hmm. I think the entrances are going to be killer, especially like they were with, like, you know, Punk and Undertaker and Lesnar and Undertaker last year. I don't see Undertaker losing 2 years in a row. I mean, granted, now that he has broken the streak, it's okay for him to lose, but I don't see it happening. So I think what happens is that this year he goes over on Bray Wyatt, and the next year, whoever his opponent is, he probably loses.
I'm going with Bray Wyatt, and the reason is because they made a really sound investment with him since Survivor Series. And just to make that investment and have him lose to Taker, to be kind of like, you know, hey, let's get Taker back in the good graces with fans, all woo.
But what
whatever.
A good person to lose to at the same time.
But I mean, at the same time, too, it's like you could have made the same argument last year, and all of a sudden it's like Cena, Cena won. It's like the exact same argument, but Cena needed that win less than Taker needs that win.
He did. But I think it was a combination of they wanted to have that good moment before they had Lesnar and Taker, and that was the, you know, roller coaster. With this one, for me, Bray Wyatt, he's going to be the next guy for them, and he's going to be one of their next big attractions. Him and Taker are going to tear it down. They're going to have a great match. It's not going to be, you know, over-technically sound and stuff like that. It's going to be very psychologically based. I don't know. I just don't see Taker winning this match, and I think I was on record last year saying Taker was going to lose to Lesnar. You know, I think the coolest story would be, can Taker still go? And if he doesn't win, like, is his confidence ruined?
Yeah, I was going to say.
If you go into WrestleMania next year, and can the last Gunslinger still get one big win? He probably can, stuff like that.
Yeah, actually, when we were kind of actually just going around, I kind of thought about that, too. I think that would work out really well, too. I think if Sting got that win earlier, Wyatt comes up, beats Taker. It's like he's lost two in a row. It's like, can, you know, instead of being the storyline where it's just, oh, the ambience of Taker, you know, coming back to Mania, it becomes, well, can Taker do this anymore? Like, can he continue doing what he's been doing the 20-whatever years prior? It's like, because the past two, he can't do it, apparently. And it's like, then he comes out and maybe gets the win.
And honestly, like, guys, I really don't want to see Steen versus Taker.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's inevitable.
Too similar. All right, next match, though. We have the U.S. title is on the line as Rusev defends against John Cena.
I think, man, I don't want to see Cena win. I think I like Rusev's. I mean, it's like you almost want to see Rusev just finally lose the winning streak and lose the belt so he can move on to bigger and better things, which, I mean, could happen because at the same time they could set up for something bigger after Mania. But I kind of like what Rusev's doing, and I think what he's doing is actually propelling that United States title tremendously. Mm-hmm. I feel like when Cena wins it, it might just kind of go in the shitter because it's like Cena wins it, they'll probably find a weird reason for him to lose it, and then all of a sudden that title goes away. I like what Rusev's doing right now. I think maybe not necessarily, I don't know if this feud has any more ground after Mania, but I think, you know, Rusev could find something else to do with it later on, and I think somebody else topping his streak could only propel them and the belt more other than Cena, but that's just what I think. But just based off of how the booking has been, I think, you know, Cena comes out on top. I want to see Rusev come out on top, but I think Cena will.
KC Riley.
I really don't want to see John Cena win at WrestleMania for the nth time. So I see Rusev. I see Rusev wins. Jesse Von Rudin.
I'm going Rusev. I think they've done marvelous things with this guy over the years. Actually, over the year, really. He's only been there a year.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it is. Yeah. And he's been very dominant. I think he's definitely a legit contender to either Reigns or Lesnar, you know, after WrestleMania. I think keeping the belt on him is definitely a good idea. With Cena, the guy's been around for a while. A lot of reports, you know, he's going to go film a movie from here and stuff like that. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how that one plays out. Rusev definitely with the heart, Cena with the brain. So.
Yep.
All right, next match, the IC, the Intercontinental title, ladder match.
Yeah,
a lot of guys in this one. Dolph Ziggler, Bryan Danielson. Yeah, I called him Bryan Danielson.
He did.
Daniel Bryan, Stardust,
on
R-Truth, Dean Ambrose, Luke Harper, and Bad News Barrett, who currently is the champion, but you couldn't tell based on the storyline we've been running.
Right. I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan. I think that could be a really fun, you know, little run for Daniel Bryan. It gives him something to do outside of, you know, the world title picture kind of. You know, I think he could really make that. I think the IC title for Daniel Bryan, he could really run with it and make it his own and maybe make it another commodity on the show that, you know, instead of just being another mid-card belt, it could be something that, you know, fans want to see. You know, I've seen Dolph hold the belt too many times. I don't really care about R-Truth. Same thing goes for Bad News Barrett. He's great in the ring, but it's just he's had the belt how many times? It's just like what.
And it's the same thing every time.
He needs to do something else. Dean Ambrose. I think he could do something, you know, outside of this IC. I don't think Dean Ambrose needs to necessarily have a title or being a title pitcher. I think he can make things work outside of that. And Stardust, I don't know, his character's been in flux. I think that whole Goldust thing that happened kind of didn't gain enough ground, and now it's just kind of weird. But I think, you know, I want to see Daniel Bryan win it, and I think Daniel Bryan will, and I think, you know, that will only excel the belt past Mania, so.
All right, he's really.
For me, I mean, there's a lot of great guys in this match. I think the guy that walks out with the IC belt is Stardust. I think that it would be a great run for Stardust, especially with everything going on with the whole Goldust scenario. Whether he drops the Stardust gimmick altogether when he has the belt or not, I don't know that, but I know that Cody Rhodes, Stardust, whatever you want to call him. He was a great IC champ, and I think he'd be a great one once again. And that would definitely be his WrestleMania moment for 2015.
Man, that's a tough one. It's a tough one. There's a, you know, Bad News Barrett. This is the reason why I think Bad News Barrett hasn't even hit the iceberg with what he can do yet, like the tip of it. And I think with everyone in this match, you're looking at possibilities of storylines going forward. I think it's better to have a heel champ with that mid card so you can build up, you know, your faces and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, though, Bryan having the title would be tremendous because you are elevating that belt. Just being showcased and having all these guys as contenders really does showcase and highlight the belt and hopefully steals the show.
You know, I think it'd be cool. I think it'd be cool if Daniel Bryan won the belt and held on to it for like 3 years.
He very well could.
That'd be cool to me.
Because coming up next is our main event. Brock Lesnar taking on Roman Reigns.
That's going to be a huge matchup. I'm going with Lesnar. I love the idea of Lesnar getting the win. You know, Roman Reigns being like, damn, like I just lost. And then the climb back to the top. Like, I think if you want Reigns to be that guy, there's no better way to do it than to lose to Lesnar at Mania and have him claw and, you know, scratch and fight his way back to that spot and ultimately overcome it. Sometime later on, because that's how guys, you know, organically get over. It's the fight, mm-hmm. It's the climb. You know, that's how Cena got over, you know, 15 years ago, whatever long it was, when he, you know, became the company's new guy. That's how Daniel Bryan did it last year. And I just think Lesnar is so hot right now, and I think the gimmick of him, I just think his gimmick together is working so good right now that it's like how you, there. I think there's just too many reasons that it could kill what they have going right now to not let Lesnar go over, and I think it'd be a very poor decision. And it's not because I don't like Roman Reigns or anything. It's just I think there's so many good things moving forward that can come from him winning opposed to him losing. That's why Lesnar should win this match.
All right, AC Riley.
My decision has stayed the same ever since the match's been announced. It hasn't changed at all with the whole ESPN announcement. What I think happens is Brock Lesnar retains the belt, but Seth Rollins cashes in and walks out the new champ.
And hey, I got a quick question. Did you pick Orton in the first match, though?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Anyhow, Lesnar Reigns. I got to stick with Lesnar. He was my pick going in. He was my pick going out. And a lot of it is, to me, Lesnar is champ. Lesnar as a marquee guy is the best way to go because he's special. He makes the title seem special. And with Heyman, with everything kind of clicking and it's working, man, I just don't see him change the course anytime soon until mm-hmm. they have the next guy who could be that next guy.
Yeah.
Right now, Lesnar's the man.
Yeah, right now they've built him to the point where I believe the only way that he can lose the belt convincingly would be to lose to Seth Rollins, but like I said, there's just too much good going on right now that I think it would kill any sort of momentum. I mean, it's like, where do you go from there? If Seth Rollins cashes in on him, it's like, you obviously have your match with Rollins and Lesnar, but I just don't think anybody's ready for that, and I don't think it's Extreme Rules is the right time for that. So it's just like, you know, I don't see a Rollins cash, and I know you want to give him his WrestleMania moment, but the dude can probably get his WrestleMania moment with Orton this year. It's like he doesn't need to cash in the Money in the Bank, but I guess you never know what will happen. I mean, WWE's been throwing quite a few of curveballs lately, so.
Yeah, that is definitely true. Plus, you know, at some point in time, the WWE really probably wants to get rid of CM Punk's longest title reign in the last 25 years.
Yeah, they probably want to get rid of that.
All right, well, coming up next, though, we have Ryan Anderson. He's in the spotlight. We're going to talk ring announcing, and we're going to talk a lot of cool things.
Yeah.
Especially fashion.
It's a guy that has been, you know, is in the spotlight before the match happens.
He's in the center of the ring before the wrestlers are.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
That's what a great announcer does.
So, coming up next, making his way to Grapple Talk, he hails. Where's Indiana?
Indiana.
From Indiana, the golden voice of pro wrestling, Ryan Anderson. Up next on Grapple Talk, stick around.
The entire cast of Grapple Talk would like to pay a special homage to the recent passing of a AAA performing professional wrestler, Pero Aguayo Jr. Pero, this is for you. ¿Dónde están perros? Quiero verlos saltando. Dame más perros. Quiero verlos gritando. Quiero más perros. Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cartel trae el mando y venimos a acabar. ¿Dónde están perros? Quiero verlos saltando. Dame más perros. Quiero verlos gritando. Quiero más perros. Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cartel trae el mando y venimos a acabarlo. Soy el águila que devoró la serpiente, poderoso como una K-47. Piénsenlo dos veces antes de intentar tocar a mi gente. De donde vengo las cosas son muy diferentes. Como el jefe de jefes, tengo a mis perros en la línea. Van a llorar como niñas cuando sientan mis mordidas. Aún no han hecho la tumba para el real Mesías. Soy el maestro, el quinto elemento, ligero como el viento. Muchos me quieren ver muerto, pero lo siento, soy más duro que el cemento.
y en la calle recibí el mejor entrenamiento.
¿Dónde están perros? Quiero verlos saltando.
Dame más perros.
Quiero verlos gritando.
Quiero más perros.
Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cártel trae el mando y venimos a acabarlo.
¿Dónde están perros?
Quiero verlos saltando.
Dame más perros.
Quiero verlos gritando.
Quiero más perros.
Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cártel trae el mando y venimos a acabarlo.
Los micrófonos como plástico en el fuego. Mi voz es tan caliente que podría fundir el hierro. Nunca juego, para mí esto es cosa seria, pero acabarlos es tan fácil como abrirle a tus hermanas las piernas. No se pierdan que mi lengua les dará su merecido, mientras sus novias juegan 6 pulgadas debajo de mi ombligo. Jodido en los bolsillos pero rico en mi lenguaje. Mis enemigos tiemblan cuando sienten mi coraje. No se rajen, ¿para qué se echan para atrás? El vikingo puso el ritmo y yo puse lo demás. Soy el zar y la calle es mi palacio. Como la mala hierba cubro todos los espacios.
¿Dónde están perros?
Quiero verlos saltando.
Dame más perros.
Quiero verlos gritando.
Quiero más perros.
Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cártel trae el mando y venimos a acabarlos.
¿Dónde están perros?
Quiero verlos saltando.
Dame más perros.
Quiero verlos gritando.
Quiero más perros.
Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cártel trae el mando y venimos a acabarlos.
Rompieron las cadenas, y ando buscando a mis perras. Se rompieron las cadenas, y ando buscando a mis perras. Se rompieron las cadenas. Si te entrenas tal vez puedas llegar a donde me encuentro, pero advierto que soy como el tiempo, así que no me detengo. Entretengo a tu madre cuando tu padre no está, y ahora ladren porque el cártel acaba de llegar.
¿Dónde están perros?
Quiero verlos saltando.
Dame más perros.
Quiero verlos gritando.
Quiero más perros.
Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cártel trae el mando y ven acabar.
¿Dónde están perros?
Quiero verlos saltando.
Dame más perros.
Quiero verlos gritando.
Quiero más perros.
Ya los oigo ladrando, que el cártel trae el mando y venimos a acabar.
¿Dónde están perros? Denme más perros. Quiero más perros. ¿Dónde están perros?
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media. Create your legacy.
Come closer and listen to what Zoltar has to tell you.
Why, hello there. Every Thursday at 9 o'clock on RAQRadio.com, myself and my co-hosts will titillate your taste buds with the savory scrum-diddly-umptious sounds of groovy rock and roll, including news, talk, and pure ecstasy of entertainment.
Take it from me, the great Zoltar.
I predict that your future will be grand and golden when you tune in to Intrinsically Odd.
Hey guys, it's Chase Matthews here, and I have found a new home for Chasing the Stream, the Elite Podcast Network. If you're looking for a different podcast to listen to that talks about wrestling, tune in every Wednesday night while I have interviews with wrestlers, promoters, ring announcers, and even fans. Get everybody's perspective on this crazy world we call wrestling. That's Chasing the Stream, the Elite Podcast Network, every Wednesday night.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk,
the hottest property in this industry today.
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
This week in the Spotlight in Squared Circle, we're talking to a ring announcer, but not only any ring announcer, but the golden voice of professional wrestling. We're sitting down with Ryan Anderson. And Ryan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Ryan, kicking things off for the Spotlight, you know, usually we focus on wrestlers. We sometimes focus on promoters. You're definitely our first ring announcer. So tell us, you know, what's Ryan Anderson? What do you expect from Ryan Anderson when you book him to be your ring announcer? What's Ryan Anderson all about?
Well, you know, I try to make sure that I put the product first. You know, I don't put myself over. I want to make sure that every single fan is excited to be there, and if they're not, I want to know why. And I want to change their mindset. I want to get them hyped up for a kick butt wrestling show. I don't like seeing, you know, people sitting on their hands. I want to see people get moving, get loud. A lot of people will try and cut fans off. I don't do that. I want them to be as animated as humanly possible, because the louder you get, the better the show gets, in my opinion. So I want people to be involved. You know, they spent their $10-$15. So I try to shake hands with everybody at intermission, meet as many new people as I can. You know, half my friends list on Facebook is fans from shows. So people, you know, they love seeing interaction. They love having fun. So I'm more than just a ring announcer. Anyone can say making his way to the ring. It's like the way you project yourself. I'm a friend to everybody, and I have fun. And, you know, you make it like a rock show, and you have fun, and just interact as much as possible.
Yeah, so would you say you're the ambassador of fun?
Ambassador of fun, I like it.
That's, yeah, that's pretty good. You know, I might take that. I haven't said that, but since you said it, I might have to take that.
Nice, Jesse.
Well, I'm going to have to trademark it quick.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, we'll get into a legal battle royale.
You know, one of the things about ring announcing that I've kind of observed from seeing other ring announcers, you know, kind of like what you're talking about, is, you know, it not only an ambassador of fun, but almost a host of the show, where, you know, like a host for a dinner party, for example, walking around, seeing if people are enjoying themselves, you know, oh, you liking the hors d'oeuvres and all that, you know, whatever, you know, hosts they had fancy dinner parties. So do you feel that as a ring announcer, it's kind of your duty to be the host of Strong Style Wrestling, the host of FWF, or do you think it would be something completely different as the ring announcer?
Oh, absolutely. If the fans don't see that I'm invested in the product, that I'm not marking out, quote-unquote, then why should they? If I'm not afraid of the bad guy, then why should they be afraid of the bad guy? Now, I say that, I'm not trying to put myself over, but I want people to see that I'm having as much fun as them while being professional, maintaining a reasonable distance, but, you know, enjoying it, having fun, having a blast, and, you know, definitely you got to host. There's some people that are just kind of drab about it, and there's other people that just get into it, and I'm one of those people.
Let's talk about that, Ryan, for a sec, you know, because one thing that I always really noticed was, you know, when I was coming up in the business, you know, there was a couple of shows that I went to where people would be like, oh, man, you know, that ring announcer's totally putting himself over. You know, and I guess that kind of peeved some people. How do you, you know, as a guy that does it so often and takes so much pride into it, how do you kind of avoid that? Like, what do you have to do to kind of avoid that? Because in my mind at the same time, when you go to a show, those ring announcers that help, you know, I guess stay, you know, keep the fans involved, it almost, you know, sets up for the matches just that much better. It excites the fans more. So how do you kind of, you know, balance those two in making sure that you're not going too far to one side, but at the same time you're still keeping everyone involved?
Well, I respect the business to no end. I mean, it's something I've grown up with. So, like, to me, to put myself over on two wrestlers that are putting their hearts out there, that would just be like the most atrocious thing I could think of to do. So I have no problem playing to the bad guy, because I'm generally afraid of half these guys. Some of these guys are 7 feet tall. Why should I do that? You know, why should I not, you know, put these guys over? And, you know, if that's answering your question, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, another question I have for you, too, is, I mean, you know, talking about just ring announcing in general, I mean, what kind of brought you to wanting to ring announce, I guess, opposed to maybe doing something else in the ring?
Well, I've been a fan I remember my first memory is 3 years old. I wanted to be a wrestler, but, you know, my body type, you know, I've seen nothing personal to bigger guys, but I've seen guys that are around my size, and I don't necessarily want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. Some people, it works for them. I knew it wouldn't work for me. And, you know, I went to these shows, and I saw that, you know, there was an opportunity one day. One of the promoters was looking out for a new announcer, and he made a post. And, you know, I kind of always wanted to be more of a showman and help maybe facilitate some things. And, you know, I realized it was my chance at doing something with the business that I loved so much since I was so young. So, you know, I took that opportunity and auditioned and got it.
So you talked about growing up with the wrestling business. You know, you said that your first experience was when you were three. So take us back to when you were three and you had your first wrestling experience. What was that all about?
You know, I was raised by a single mom. My mom, she was awesome. She took me when I was 3 years old to Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana, to the Joyce Center. Took me to a WWF house show. And, you know, it was just an incredible experience. We were sitting as high up as you could possibly get. But, you know, I was there. I got to watch some wrestling, you know, 3 years old. And, you know, it was awesome. You know, just watching classic stuff, WCW and The Den and stuff like that. You know, starting off at 2.5, 3 years old, it was just an incredible experience. And it's some people grow out of certain things, and wrestling is not something that I ever grew out of.
Well, definitely, it's something that I don't think anyone that's actually listening to the show has ever grown out of.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, definitely. That first time in the ring, you got your note cards in hand, you got the mic. Are you sweating bullets? Are you just like, holy shit, I better not shit the bed? Like, what's going through your mind at that point in time?
Oh, it was... See, I haven't really told a lot of people this, but I had horrible anxiety. Mm-hmm. Well, I still kind of do, and I figured it would be a good way to check off this huge bucket list of mine. But definitely, absolutely, it was one of the most terrifying experiences of my life. But I figured it would be a really good way to get over a fear. I mean, I remember that first day very well. It was 4 years ago this month, and it was a terrifying experience, but I made it through thanks to a lot of the help from the guys in the back.
Well, I mean, it would have been it definitely was a terrifying experience, but obviously you're doing something right if, you know, between that first event and now, I mean, you're getting booked all over Indiana. Everybody wants a piece of Ryan Anderson. And I think when we were talking a little bit beforehand, you mentioned that you've had some opportunities to get out of Indiana, but the bookings kind of fell through, the show kind of fell through, but still, like, a booking in Chicago and elsewhere, people looking at you.
Yeah. Had a Chicago booking, but the show got canceled, and then had a Michigan booking that got canceled. You know, I'm not going to say anything poorly about, you know, why they were canceled,
sure.
But I do know that I can officially say that my friends at Pro Wrestling King are going to give me my first booking in Jonesville, Michigan, later on this year. So I will finally be able to say I've done a Michigan show.
All right.
That will actually happen.
All right, Ryan, so let's talk. So when you're talking to, you know, workers and stuff, prepping before a match, you know, talking to your opponent, you know, figuring out what they need to do in the ring, what you want to do in the ring. As a ring announcer, I mean, this is the first time we've had a ring announcer on. So, you know, what do you really need to do, I guess, you know, to prep for, like, what, it's not like you just walk, I mean, unless, I mean, I don't know. You could be talented enough where you're like, you know, fuck it, I'm just going to go kill it right now.
Yeah, sunglasses, cocaine around the nose, whatever.
Oh, just showing up 15 minutes late to the show. But, you know, I guess what goes into, I guess, you know, prepping for your night of work, because it actually is a job that you have to do out there. It's not like, you know, you can just pick it up and, you know, do it without any sort of, you know, prepping.
Yeah, normally, you know, I'll get there, and if they need help setting up the ring, I'll help there. I usually get there 2 hours early and help figure out what's going on, see if the card's written down, like the actual physical card for the event. And then I'll go up to the guys and, you know, have my index cards. And, you know, usually half the time I know who they are already, so I'll try to be prepped up and ask them, like, hey, you're 275 from Sacramento, right? And then they'll confirm it or not. You know, some of these guys have more elaborate entrances than others. But, you know, it's kind of just going up to them, shaking hands, the big thing in the business, shake hands, ask them if, you know, their information.
You know, Ryan, and I got to ask you, man, I mean, ton of respect for what you do and everything, and obviously, you know, you're a hot commodity as it is, but I got to know, I mean, if there's anything that you can tell us about maybe, like, one of the worst blunders maybe that you've had as a ring announcer. I mean, because, I mean, you probably had them. I mean, I've done commentary for however many years, and I've had quite a few moments where I've just been the drizzling shits, and I still am at times. But, I mean, has there ever been a moment maybe early on or maybe, you know, that you just kind of were like, oh, I cannot believe I just said that?
No, I have. I'm perfect. No, I'm just kidding. honestly, like, the biggest one, I mean, the thing is, there's a lot of subtle things that I notice that maybe other people can't, that as I've gotten more and more shows under my belt, I'm able to probably fix without other people noticing.
Right.
But I've definitely, one of the biggest ones was announcing for Congo Kong. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked to him not too long ago, actually.
Yeah.
He's an incredible, incredible star. But, you know, his thing is he stands at over 7 feet tall, weighing damn near 400 pounds, hailing from the deepest, darkest jungle. For some reason, I said deepest, darkest dungle, and I'm in front of about 200 people. I've done that intro before multiple times, but that night I said dungle, and that's something I'll never forget, and repeating it again and again isn't going to help me forget, but... That was one of my biggest ones I ever messed up.
Hey, come on. Dungle could be like a new slang term for dark jungle.
It could be. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
All right, so style-wise, when you're in the ring doing ring announcing, are you stiff, always towards hard cam like a Howard Finkel, or are you more of like an MC? You're pointing at the fans. You're really kind of riling them up with your cue cards and stuff like that. What's your style like?
You know, I've kind of merged some things. As I started off, I kind of circled around. I was kind of more of a nervous thing. Mm-hmm. As I've gotten older, I've kind of merged my favorite ring announcers, like Howard Finkel. My voice inflection, especially when it's a title, is more so of a Howard Finkel. But when I'm trying to get the crowd going crazy, I'll do more of a Gavin loudspeaker who does Chikara. I actually got to meet him last year, and he kind of gave me some tips and suggestions. So he's like a Russell Brand rock star. If you're not familiar with him, you should totally check him out. One of the he's the best independent ring announcer there is. Totally check out his voice. It's a completely different style. But I try to incorporate kind of his style into Howard Finkel, and I'll go all out. He does his opening match voice is my main event quality voice. Like he's that into it the entire night, and he's somehow able to do it. He's a god of voices. I don't know how he can do it, but so I try to merge these guys. I've had the opportunity to meet, you know, several ring announcers like Tom Phillips, Justin Roberts, and Gavin, and I'm really thankful. So I try to merge them without stealing too much. I really enjoy Bruce Buffer's style, from UFC. So I try to incorporate it, but try and add my own thing and be as interactive as possible.
All right, so for those at the benefit of listening to this right now, give us a ring introduction for Congo Kong versus, like, Scott Steiner.
Scott Steiner.
Yeah,
Scott Steiner.
I get to announce for him twice coming up soon. So
awesome.
Really? Well,
practice. Good practice, right?
Oh, man, you're putting me on the spot here.
We are a little bit.
Or it could be anyone like, that you're familiar with, you know.
In this corner, he stands in at... Over 400, oh my god, see, I'm messing up. But that was a joke. Alright, he weighs in at over 4 pounds. He stands at damn near 7 feet tall. He hails from the deepest, darkest jungle. He is the monster, Congo Kong. Something like that.
Boo, Congo Kong.
Go back to the jungle.
Go back to the jungle, Congo. We're just trying to make the ambience more, you know, fresh for you.
So I got to know, man, you know, it's really interesting, and I love that you're passionate enough about it where you know your crafts. I mean, you actually have studied these guys. I mean, it's awesome hearing that because, you know, you never want to, you know, it's like, oh, I can ring announce, I'm just going to go do it. But it's great that you actually, you know, kind of study and know the guys that you kind of want to be like. And I got to know, so where exactly did the idea of you, I guess, because I know you kind of said how you wanted to get in the business, but where did the idea come up where you're like, I can definitely do this? I mean, I know when I was like a little kid, I used to play with action figures, and I would
and making his way to the ring, here comes Kurt Angle. It's like, okay. So, like, where did you kind of figure out, okay, I have the voice to do this?
Well, I could never really do voice impressions. I was always jealous of people doing it, and then I started to develop different voices and, you know, just dumb stuff. And then, like I said, I didn't really go into detail earlier, but the ring announcer that they were using locally, he kind of got fired for a reason, but I won't go into detail. But when the promoter put it out there, you know, I kind of said, well, I can do this voice like this, like, you know, and it kind of just went up and up and up, because my normal voice is kind of a high-pitched, squeaky little thing. So I can kind of change the inflection as I go along, and, you know, it just depends. So it's not something that happened overnight. I definitely, if you saw a video of my first show, my first 20 shows, it probably wasn't that good. But, you know, each show got better. I learned and learned and learned. And I think that's for every aspect of the business, whether you're a ref or a wrestler or a ring announcer.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ryan, we talked a little bit about some of the guys that you like to, you know, emulate with your ring announcing. And one of the things that we've kind of noticed on the road is, you know, it's great that, you know, in indie wrestling, we can be fans of indie wrestlers, you know, just like we would be a fan of, like, anybody in the WWE. So that being said, I mean, you're seeing these guys, you're announcing all these guys, you know, to the ring. Who are some guys that not only we should be on the lookout for, but who are some other guys that are your favorites that people should be aware of?
Oh, man, there's a bunch. And, you know, just to name a few, like, without leaving, I mean, there are so many good ones. Like, Ryan Epic is great. The End of the World, Jake Oman, Scotty Young, Russ Jones, Congo Kong, obviously. There's a ton of these guys. Sugar Dunkerton. These guys are just killing it night in and night out. Remy Wilkins, Drew Skills, Paulo Starr. These are guys that I'm thankful I get to see nearly every single weekend at different shows, sometimes the same shows. It doesn't matter if, like, it's, you know, kind of a similar roster here and there. I mean, these guys are putting in matches that are WWE Ring of Honor quality. I'm loving it. Bolt Brady, if you haven't heard of him, you should check him out. He's a phenomenal star. These guys that I'm listing, like, they're great. I enjoy watching their matches. I will go on YouTube and watch them. Even though I just saw them, I'll rewatch it because I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's a whole other thing on the independent circuit. These guys are killing it. They deserve the adoration that they get. So I'm leaving out a ton of people. I get to see just wrestlers from all over, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity I've got.
You know, Ryan, I'm kind of actually interested, too. You have conquered what some would call one of the hardest parts about being in the business, and that's public speaking. You know, being in the ring and working is one thing, but being able to go out there and actually talk on a microphone is a completely other thing. It's what I would probably think. You know, I guess I can't say that necessarily, but some guys would struggle with that more than anything when they're trying to, you know, make a name for themselves in this business. And just, you know, out of curiosity, maybe just to open up the floodgates, you know, is there something else that maybe you'd want to do in the biz down the line? I mean, whether that be, you know, maybe being a manager, maybe being an authority figure, maybe even working commentary, since you have this experience now with, you know, talking on the mic.
You know, I've been asked to do commentary before for different organizations, and I've thought about it, but it's not really my forte. I enjoy what I'm doing at the moment. I feel like I put the organizations that I work for, that I'm thankful that I get to work for, I put them forward as best as I can. I put their product up on a pedestal, and, you know, I think I do it pretty well, and I love what I'm doing right now. I don't really want to be a manager. There's nothing wrong with that, or, you know, it's not really what I'm interested in. I'm interested in perfecting being the ring announcer, perfecting being the host, and trying my best to make sure that these owners of these organizations who put their trust in me get it, you know, that I put my best effort and make their product look as good as humanly possible.
All right, so here's the toughest question you're going to have tonight. How hard is it with a beard to wear a sweater vest?
How hard is it?
Yeah, because, like, sometimes your beard looks really long, so it's almost like you put the sweater vest on, you might get the beard stuck in the sweater vest.
No, my sweater vests are awesome. It's not hard at all. It's a amazing. It's the combination of a lifetime.
That didn't seem like a hard question for you to answer at all.
I guess not.
I have like six different Argyle vests. I wear different. People don't notice it, but I won't wear the same outfit, like the same fed, like two or three shows in a row. I want something different. I'm a big bearded guy who wears Argyle. I am a ring announcer like nobody else. You will not find another one like me.
So is that hard at all to try to keep keep track of all the sweaters that you're wearing, just like getting out the door, like, oh wait, never mind, I wore this the last time I was here or something like that? Or do you keep a tab of which ones you've used?
Social media, buddy. Social media. I just go back and look at my photos from the last show.
Well, speaking of social media, you actually have a Facebook page, and so for people looking to get a hold of Ryan Anderson, maybe for bookings or for just to get a hold of Ryan Anderson and see what's up in your life, how do people get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook at Ring Announcer Ryan Anderson. I try to be like the second most wanting guy for your show to succeed, next to the owner of the promotion. My ring announcer page is completely full of upcoming shows at all times. All the shows that I do, even some I don't, but most of the time it's only shows I do. But I will share. There's pretty much not a day that goes by that I don't have some kind of brand new flyer popping up there, putting over other shows. So at Ring Announcer Ryan Anderson, you can see my upcoming dates, upcoming bookings, and you can message me if you are interested in having me host your show.
Oh, absolutely. So really quick, too, before we leave, what are some places that people can come see you in the upcoming weekends?
Well, my next show is April 11th for Strong Style Wrestling in Elkhart. And then the following week is April 17th for Mishawaka for Revolution Championship Wrestling. Pro Wrestling King, April 25th. And then there is Strong Style again, May 8th, Functified Wrestling Federation, FWF, May 9th, Smash Mouth, May 22nd, and then we have Heroes and Legends will be in July, July 25th. It's kind of a triple shot weekend there. I'm kind of skipping forward a little bit because Heroes and Legends is now just one big show a year versus three shows. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that that weekend is going to be Strong Style on the 24th of July, Heroes and Legends the 25th, and Smash Mouth the 26th.
So basically, if anybody's looking to get a hold of you for their show, they got to get a hold of you quick because those dates are filling up.
I literally have bookings through October already, and it's March 25th. So, I do have some openings available. My goal is to never have a weekend without a show. Yeah, I look forward to wrestling shows more than pretty much anything else in my life at the moment. That's not like a negative or anything.
That did sound really sad.
Well, I love wrestling a lot. It's the I don't go to the bar. I don't play baseball. Go on a bowling team. I go to wrestling shows. I hang out. I have fun, and I hope that I help put on a good show. I guess I just kind of press it. I don't know.
Well, anyways, Ryan, we can definitely tell just from talking to you that you're really committed to the wrestling business, so we thank you for that. Check him out on your Facebook page and check him out at any of the upcoming events you listed. And, Ryan, good luck to you.
Hey, thank you very much for the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, absolutely, Ryan. We'll be back with more Grapple Talk right after this.
Thanks to Grapple Talk for letting us mention our special Teespring campaign. Now, we just released our new Spot Monkey Media t-shirts, available online now. But here's the thing, for every 20 orders before August 2nd, Spot Monkey Media will donate a pair of lower-level tickets to the Monday Night Raw event on August 17th in Minneapolis to Gillette Children's Hospital in St. Paul. We'll be making the donation on behalf of everyone who supported us. For more information, visit our Facebook page or on Twitter at Spot Monkey Media.
The University of Wisconsin-La Crosse
has a radio station.
This is no ordinary station.
RAQ plays everything from news to gossip to multiple sports shows.
Join us Monday through Friday,
11 to 11,
on RAQ Radio
or live365.com.
RAQ.
We like the way we work it.
No diggity.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the one-hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, looks like Ryan from One Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 316 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
That was a great interview, guys. Yeah, really nice to hear from a guy who... It's not your... I wouldn't say he's not a wrestler. He's not a camera guy. He's a ring announcer, and his job is very, very important because he gets you guys all hyped up before the
match. It's always great to hear different perspectives from people in the business and how they, you know, go about, you know, getting ready for a show, or how they go about, you know, staying involved in the business and how much they enjoy the business. So, I mean, that's, you know, that's always great to hear, and I'm glad that we had him on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just from talking with him, you could tell how much, how passionate he was about the wrestling business. It wasn't him just saying, yeah, I really like doing this stuff, and I really enjoyed. He was just like, he was excited. He was like a kid in the candy store.
Yeah. Yeah, kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
Just wanted candy, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. When you're a kid in the candy store, you just want to eat candy.
More serious topic, guys.
Very serious.
Yeah, very serious topic. You know, Rey Mysterio, you know, the big, it was all over the internet for the past couple of days.
Yeah.
There's still updates, and guys, it's just, it's being talked about everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely an unfortunate situation where a guy's life, a father, a son, a husband, you know, he gets his life cut short because of an incident in the ring. And it wasn't, you know, one of those instances where, you know, someone's at fault. You know, it's just a freak accident. And the way everything got kind of played out, like on Saturday and Sunday, it seemed like everyone was looking for a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate, you know, because the wrestling business lost great.
Yeah. I mean, somebody brought it up to me, and they're like, hey, man, like, what do you think about, you know, this, you know, Mysterio and things like that? And it's like, you know, yeah, it's you know, just common in our society to always look for somebody to blame or some sort of a scapegoat or, you know, something to point to when something this tragic happens. But obviously, you know, it appears, you know, it was – There was really no fault. It was just human, you know.
It was a freak accident.
It's a freak accident that you never expect to happen, and it's extremely sad. So, you know, trying to, you know, I guess just talking about it a little bit, for a wrestler's perspective this week, instead of, you know, maybe doing something silly like we normally do, just kind of like looking at, you know, the situation that happened, you know, and I mean, it's been talked about time and time again. I don't think we're going to sit here and talk about it for 20 minutes. There's no need to. It was a freak accident. If you want to know more about it, you can obviously look it up. It's something that doesn't necessarily need to be talked about.
Sure.
You know, overly, you know, we don't need to overanalyze it or anything. We saw, you know, we know what happened. And if you want to know what happened, you can always look it up. But AC Riley, you know, just looking at perspective and things like that, I mean, is something like that, I mean, ever on your mind? Is it something that you're worried about when you're in the ring? Because you never – you don't expect things like that to happen, but anything literally could happen at any moment, you know, that could, you know, endanger, you know, not only your time in the ring, but your life as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that I've had asked to me a few times already, you know, within work or, you know, getting the haircut or whatever, you know, just people that know me as a wrestler hearing this news, whether they're wrestling fans or not, you know, hey, you're a wrestler. Is this something that scares you from being a wrestler? I don't say it scares me. It just makes you really take life for, you know, to make you appreciate life, you know, not try to take it for granted, and really makes you appreciate the training. Because, I mean, granted, not saying that Pera was an untrained wrestler, not by any means. But
one of the greatest wrestlers.
No, that's what I'm saying. He's not untrained, or he's not anything like that. I'm saying, you know, this is where that, you know, the training really comes into place, where, you know, when you take a back bump, you got to make sure, you know, how to land safely and not land on the back of your head and, you know, be crippled on your first bump ever. You know, like we've had that with, you know, Todd Butchie Davis, where, you know, he was hitting the ropes, and because you're told to grab the top rope when you hit the ropes, if he wouldn't have done that, he would have killed himself because the top rope snapped. It's, you know, it's not something that you prepare for, but it's something that can happen. And, you know, and just like in the video, it's something that is a typical thing to set up for the 619, and it ended his life, and it was unfortunate. So it's definitely something that it makes you really think about the wrestling business and the hazards, but it's just like any other job, you know, whether it's construction, whether it's, you know, being a police officer, a firefighter, even a boxer, because that happens all the time. So, yeah, it just... It's unfortunate, but it happens.
I the only thing I gotta really say is always tell the people that you love in your life that you love them.
Absolutely.
You never know what's gonna happen next.
Yeah, 100%.
It's simple as that.
100%. So, I mean, yeah. I don't know how to go from there.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't know, moment of silence?
Yeah.
Well, tape study coming up next. I'm kind of like, guys, I'm on a Nick Bockwinkel kick.
Yeah.
This time we are going to go to All Japan Pro Wrestling, December 11th, 1980, as Nick Bockwinkel takes on Billy Robinson. Billy Robinson is one of the all-time greats. This guy is like water in the ring. He just flows really well. It's actually a really fun match because both guys got a lot of respect for each other. It's almost like pretty Ring of Honor with a handshake. You know, you're looking at two greats really, really bringing out the best in each other. And there's a different psychology of the high spot then in comparison to now. So basically, most of the match, they work over a body part.
Uh-huh.
Now, when they start getting the heat and stuff like that, that's where they do the high spots, and then they go right back to the body
part. Oh, okay.
It's really interesting, really fun. It goes to a time limit draw. Definitely worth watching. We'll put it on Facebook. We'll put it on Twitter. It'll be all over the place.
I kind of miss time limit draws.
I do, too. I really, really do. And I don't see the reason why people don't use them, because it gives you another ending for a match.
Yeah. I mean, it's something. I mean, when you're trying to legitimize a sport, you always see it in boxing. I mean, it's almost more popular to see a time limit draw in boxing or in mixed martial arts than it is to see a knockout or, you know.
Yeah, all legitimate TKO. Sports actually have a time limit.
Yeah. So it's almost like you'd expect, it's like, hey, it was a 10-minute whatever. It's like, and now we have Jeff Hardy taking on Kurt Angle for the TNA World title. Time limit draw, and it's like, that sucked, but it's like, dude, this is a sport, like, come on, you know?
Yeah, and it makes a time limit draw, man, I want to see these guys go again, because I think Jeff Hardy could have beat him.
Dude, I was looking up TNA stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
I didn't realize, every time I look at Secret Angle, his cheeks, they get bigger. Have you noticed that? I didn't even know it was Kurt Angle versus Bobby Lashley for the belt. And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like Bobby Lashley had him something, and it's like, oh, ankle lock, and then all of a sudden, you kind of see his head come up, mm-hmm. and he's like, ah! And I was like, that's Kurt Angle? Like, it doesn't even look like him. His face, yeah. It looks like he got, like, collagen injections into his cheeks.
Huh.
Looks like he had just,
like, he had marshmallows in his mouth, and he was like,
or, like, he ate walnuts, he's allergic to walnuts.
Yeah, he's like, I'm allergic to walnuts, what I need to win the TNA title.
Well, actually, I heard, Robbie E, Rockstar Spud, had a really good hair for his hair match.
Yeah, it actually got very slight. I mean, I only saw the last, you know, that TNA only puts, like, the last, like, 2 minutes of it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So, but, I mean, the psychology in that match looked really cool. I mean, it got
a lot of praise from JR. It was probably the nicest thing he said about Impact Wrestling in a long time.
Is it Impact Wrestling? Is it TNA anymore? Is that a thing?
The show name is Impact Wrestling. The company name is TNA for branding purposes, because I think they're known as TNA in the European market, so they keep with that.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AC Riley, closing comments.
I got a few things to talk about. Yeah, of course you guys roll your eyes about that I have something. You know, kind of on topic with Pero, with, you know, the unfortunate freak accident with him being no longer with us. I also want to give a shout out to Reed Bentley. He was just recently had a another freak accident, work hazard. He's got a huge gaping line. In his forehead. He had 41 staples to sew that
gross.
Shut. 41. I mean, I've had staples. I had 6. He had 41 staples. So hopefully he's doing great. I mean, from what it sounds like, the match itself was phenomenal. It was him and John Wayne Murdoch versus the Hooligans in the main event of IWA Mid-South. So hopefully that gaping hole. I think it was just a botched chair shot, that one that just got a little bit too real. So that's what I've been gathering. So hopefully he's doing a lot better, and hopefully those staples stay in place. And, hopefully he's doing great. Another thing that's great, Jesse, is that you and I, this Sunday at WrestleMania, will be celebrating 7 years in the wrestling business.
Yeah.
You'll be in June because you started 6/14/08. But
how does he remember these dates?
How do you know that?
This is where it comes into place, where, like, very early I learned, keep track of all your wrestling matches. And, that's something that it's so good to have, because then you can look back on it for promos or just for nostalgic purposes. Like, I always have to check sometimes, like, oh, was it the 21st or the 29th? And it's always the 29th. 29th of March was the first time I stepped into a professional wrestling ring after training and, had a, not great tag match. I will be honest, it was my first match ever. But yeah, and then that was the first day that you came on for production,
yeah.
And you got your taste of independent wrestling from that side. So 7 years, and what better way to celebrate than WrestleMania 31?
You're gonna get drunk, aren't you?
I mean, maybe not too drunk, but I might celebrate with a celebratory beer.
Should have taken off work.
Yeah,
drink too.
Yeah, but coming up in June will be your 7 years.
Wow, long time, man.
He knows that, and I don't even know that.
Yeah, long time.
So yeah, it's great. It's been a fun 7 year ride, and hopefully get 7 more years, and hopefully after that a few more after that.
I agree. Cool. Well, guys, you know what? It is WrestleMania weekend, and it's kind of like a holiday for us.
Yes.
Yeah. So So I got
Come on.
DVDs. All right.
I hate when he does this.
Okay.
I feel bad.
So for Nick Duché, since you were going to be the next great manager, mouthpieces.
Oh, yeah. Nice. That's awesome.
And since we found out which one you were in the tag team of Youth Gone Wild, it's Shawn Michaels versus Marty Jannetty.
Oh, that's awesome.
Feud.
That's
so
fantastic.
You guys can thank Dustin, the DVD guy, for those. Heard really good things about those. Some really good classic matches on that one.
Awesome.
Dude,
I'm looking forward to watching this.
Fuck, I'm going to watch this tomorrow, probably.
Yeah.
That's
you guys
awesome.
Don't go to work now.
Yeah, I'm
going
to skip
work. You're both going to get fired because I got EDVD.
I'm sick. Is that wrestling here?
Let me tell you something, brother. Are you listening to this fucking dude?
You got to go back.
Well, thanks, Jesse.
Hey, no problem,
thanks,
guys.
Jesse.
God, yeah. You always make me feel like a piece of shit. You just always have these awesome presents.
I want to be like Oprah. I always going to like tape it to the bottom.
You get a DVD. You get a DVD.
Check under your chairs.
Oh,
I don't
no.
want to do it, though, but,
thanks, man.
Hey, no problem,
thanks,
guys. Well, hey, thank you, the fans, for listening to us for 67 episodes. We'll catch you next week for 68.
Yeah. Stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I'd be like, dude, you just ran into my dick smash. And they'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm
like,
calling
I'm
the cops.
I'm speechless. I'm speechless.
I'd be like, so you're going to hit me? Is that what you're foreshadowing?
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Congo! Come on out if you hear me!
I don't care who you are, you fat freak face paint. I'm Scott Steiner, big bad booty daddy.
Big bad booty daddy. Oh, no, I'm coming down now.
Yeah.
Because, you can't understand what he's saying half the time.
I spent a lot of time dyeing my goatee to make sure it looks this way. I'm going
to
get killed by
I would. Yeah, he's going to listen to one of these.
Holla if you hear me, Scott Steiner.
And this is going to be the
he's
one.
He's going to big pop a pump your face in.
He's going to give you one of those. Use this thing.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Geeks of the Industry presents Pro Wrestling Nation, hosted by Bay Area comedian Funky Sam Medina.
Hashtag killing.
Go check out Pro Wrestling Nation right now on iTunes, Stitcher, RedDragonsRadio.com, and of course, GeeksOfIndustry.com.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS, Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndyPowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndyPowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Hey, Dave, what do you get when an atheist and a Christian start a podcast?
I don't know, Ken. What do you get when a Christian and an atheist start a podcast?
I don't know. You're the frickin' comedian. I figured you'd have some kind of joke or something.
Right. Hi, I'm David Vox Mullen.
And I'm Mr. Anderson.
Seriously?
Wait for it. Just wait for it. Anderson.
And we're the hosts of Push the Button on the DVM Podcast Empire.
It's a show where we discuss religion, politics, and sex. All that stuff that we're not supposed to talk about.
I am a Christian.
And I'm an ordained minister with the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I think that's code for he's an atheist.
And together, we tackle any and every hot-button issue that the world is scared to talk about.
Yeah, we're not afraid of the truth.
Yeah, we're not afraid to piss people off.
We're not afraid to push the button.
So find us on iTunes.
Or simply visit us online at dvmpe.com. And God willing, you'll come back for more.
Yeah, God willing. You took the words right out of my mouth, Dave.
Well, guys, this upcoming week on Grapple Talk, it's going to be one great episode. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be post-WrestleMania Grapple Talk.
Yeah,
we're going to see, you know, what some call the best Raw of the year, the post-WrestleMania Raw. It's going to be so awesome. We're going to have so much to talk about. Obviously, we'll have a spot on the Squared Circle guest. You'll always have wrestler's perspective. And, yeah, you got another great episode of Grapple Talk on tap for next week.
And of course, if you want to keep track on who we got in for the Spotlight Squared Circle guest, check out our Facebook page. Check out our Twitter. It's all the same link, Facebook or Twitter /TheGrappleTalk, or on the website, one-stop shop, grappletalkpodcast.weebly.com.
What are you doing?
Guys, my nose is itching. I think someone's talking about me. I think it's Nick Bockwinkel, because we might have another Nick Bockwinkel match.
Got another Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah. For tape study. For the hat trick. Why
not?
I want to miss tape study. Always a time for wrestling. What's the word I'm looking for? Wrestling enthusiasts.
Yeah.
What's our whole Grapple Talk fan thing? Grapple something?
We have Grapple Talk fans?
No, what do we call it? What do we?
Grapple heads?
Grapple nuts?
Grapple.
No, that's what it was. That's not what it
Grappling
was.
Grappling your dicks?
I think we should stop.
Grapple grabbers? Gobble, 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 gobble.
All right.
Grapple, grapple.
Gobblers.
That's probably it for that.
All right.